scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, if you want to turn in your Bible or my portable Bible and follow along. I'm reading from the New King James Version today about the birth of Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife. And he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
My message today is between two arrivals. The first time Jesus came as that babe in Bethlehem. And we celebrated that. You know, we had Advent that we were celebrating over the last month, focusing on the peace, joy, hope, and love that we find in Christ. Advent means coming. So we think of his first coming, but it also refers to his second coming. So that's what I mean. We're between two arrivals. Now, for a lot of people, especially children, waiting was difficult around Christmas. You know, we went and saw our grandkids on Monday. Tuesday, actually, we were at the house, and there's the Christmas tree with the presents, and the 8-year-old son says, Can we open presents yet? Can we open presents yet? Well, it looked like Christmas, but there was a little bit of waiting before we got to that time to open the presents. Now, waiting is not easy for adults either. I mean, how many of you just say, oh, I never mind waiting. It's okay. I don't have a problem waiting. Is there anybody that doesn't have a problem with waiting? I guess none of us like to wait. This was illustrated so well at an airport in Houston. So this airport was getting so many complaints from people as they would get off of their plane, and they would walk to the baggage cart. It would only take them a minute to get to the baggage cart, but they were complaining because they were waiting 10 minutes for the bags to get there. And so the airport thought, well, what we need is more baggage handlers. So they hired some more, and it cut down a couple minutes off of it, but it was still 8 minutes, which was better than the national average, and people still complained. So then they started thinking about it, and they thought, people aren't complaining about the one-minute walk. So what they decided to do, they tried something. They moved the flights coming in to the furthest concourse that they had, that they could, and the bags as far to the other end as they could. Then people walked for about 7 or 8 minutes. Then they only had to wait a minute or two on their bags. Then they started getting notes from people complimenting them. Now, the interesting thing about this, it didn't change the time at all. If you had somebody picking you up at 10:30 and you told them, by the time I get through baggage, it'll be 10:30 and they're there. Nothing's changed on the time, but people don't like to wait. Now, this was verified by an MIT professor named Richard Larson, who was said in a New York Times article that he was the world expert on waiting. I don't even know how you get that title. You know, I thought I'd write to him and ask him, but I figured I had to wait. You know, so anyhow, he said this was predictable because people gotta have something to do while they wait. Now, you know, people, you've seen it. People be walking, you know, through stores, whatever. They're looking at their phones. They don't mind walking. But when they get there to the baggage, they're like, I gotta be careful. I gotta pay attention. I don't wanna miss my bags going around. So they get there and they're like, oh, how long is it gonna be? We just don't like to wait. A lot of times we have to wait. Matter of fact, it's really a part of life, isn't it? We just have to wait. We can't get everything when we want it. Do you know if we could get everything when we want it, we would wish our life away? You know, we would, oh, I wish I was there now. Well, there goes 8 hours of your life. You know, so waiting's not so bad when you look at it that way. So sometimes we have to wait on God. A lot of times we have to wait on God. And we're like, Lord, why don't you take care of this? Why don't you fix this? And you know, a lot of times our prayers probably sound a whole lot like the complaint cards that businesses. And we have to wait on the Lord. We don't like to wait. It's challenging for us too. We look at Joseph today. We often look at Mary when it comes to the Christmas story. But did you ever stop to think how difficult this was for Joseph? And Joseph, he had to wait. He had to figure out how could this have happened? He had to wait for an answer. And so we find that Joseph, when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he wasn't buying it. He wasn't thinking this could be the case. Oh, he had heard the prophecy about a virgin would conceive and would bear a child. But he couldn't imagine that this would be his life. And so, he didn't get any answer from the Lord right away. Now, Joseph, there's some things we know about him. The scripture says that he was a righteous man. That's not just saying he's a good guy. It's saying that he was one who, he kept the law. He kept the law of Moses. He was very much a believer in his faith and practiced it, you know, to the best of his ability. And yet, here he is struggling. Now, he and Mary were engaged, but it was more than the engagement today. You see, today, I don't know how many times it happens, but I'm sure it happens a lot, that a bride or groom are left at the altar and the other one doesn't show up. You know, it happens. You know, maybe not the majority of times, but it happens. And you know what? There's nothing anybody can do about it if a person decides it. Now, actually, I think it was about 100 years ago, maybe even after that, that there was some ramifications if you pledged, you promised. It was like a breach of promise. And so, you know, there could be some challenges then. But today it's like, oh, you're just dating up until the time of the wedding. Now, the interesting thing is back then, though, they were legally married. They were pledged to be married, and the marriage wasn't consummated. They weren't supposed to consummate the marriage yet. And to do so would have been looked down on. And so you have this guy, Joseph, who's a righteous man, who has this good reputation, and now all of a sudden his reputation is going to be called in question. I mean, Mary is technically pregnant out of wedlock. And, you know, Mary's saying that she hasn't been with anybody. And he just couldn't figure this out. So we find that Joseph, he decided, I'm going to put her away quietly, divorce her quietly. See, it took a certificate of divorce. That's how tight and strict this was, this binding pledge agreement. And Joseph had thought this through, that the best way for him to come out of this is to divorce her. So, something happened. Joseph has a dream. This was a very vivid dream. It was one that was life-changing for him. And the angel comes to him and says, hey, Joseph, hey, just want you to know Mary's telling the truth. And I just wonder if Joseph felt like in his dream going, well, thank you very much. Couldn't you have told me this earlier? But anyhow, the angel says, this child is of the Holy Spirit. Now, the angel tells him three things that are important for us as well as we await the coming of our Lord. Whether that will be Him coming, splitting open the skies, if that would be in our lifetime, or His coming to get us and to take us out of here. Something that is good for us to remember. First of all, he told Joseph, don't be afraid. Seemed like angels told that a lot. Joseph had a lot to be afraid about. I mean, his reputation, even though now he knows that this is the Son of God that's being born, it's like his reputation would be in question. There may not have been much of a wedding. There may have been people who said, well, I'm not going to that wedding. They didn't do right. And they'd be shunned by some people. There may have even been people who said, well, I'm not going to have Joseph do any of the carpentry work for us. So, I mean, it's like he's got all these things to think about. How do I provide for the Son of God? And all of these things. But the angel says, don't be afraid. Sometimes we're afraid. You know, things happen in life and we're afraid. And you know what it is? When things are out of our control, then we get afraid. when there's sickness in your family and it's something that you can't fix, you get afraid. That's when fear comes in. And so at those times, we need to hear the words of the angel. Do not be afraid. As we go through this life and we see things that are so upsetting and we see the evil in our world and we know it's there and we know things are bad, don't be afraid. As we keep hearing of COVID and we know it's a reality, sickness is a reality, don't be afraid. Wear masks. Get vaccines, all that kind of stuff, it's fine. Just don't be afraid. Because, you know, we're in this life. We got Christ with us. We can't be afraid of everything. We can do things to protect ourselves, try to protect others, but don't be afraid. You know, people who are out of work, they're afraid. Well, guess what? The good news about this day and time, there are a lot of jobs out there. My daughter Kristen has been out of work, and she moved in with my sister Judy and in Shepherdsville. She went to Amazon.com, got a job like the next day. It's a good time to get a job, you know. But people are afraid when things happen. When we have Christ, we can say, do not be afraid. Now, the second thing the angel told Joseph, change your plans. How many of you are kind of carpenters and you build things? Any? You know, one thing we know about those who are carpenters, they kind of make a plan. And this is the plan. They know how much they need to go buy. This is you, isn't it? You know how much you need of something. Now me, I do a little bit of stuff like that from time to time. But I'm likely to make 5 trips to Lowe's for, you know, something. That's not that big a deal. But somebody who really does this and is really talented with this, they pay attention to details. They got a plan. And I think that Joseph was that kind of person, that he had his plans when he would build something. And I think that he had a plan here. And the angel says, change your plan. Now, when it comes to a builder or a contractor, you all know this. If you're building something and you tell the contractor to change the plans, you can expect to pay a premium on that because it's a change in their plans. You're upsetting the apple cart there, so it's got to be an expense that you would bear. So the angel is coming to this guy who likes plans and saying, change your plans. So see, he had already considered that he was going to divorce Mary. And so he comes and says, change your plans. I've heard it said, when we say we have a plan, God laughs. Joseph had to change his plan. Now, what about us? As we come into a new year, is there something that we need to change? Is there just something? Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, is there something that I need to change as I go into this new year? New Year's, we kind of think of a new start, new beginning, a time to change plans. More people join health clubs. They have a plan. The only problem is they don't stick with the plan. you know, that in January they will have a boom on memberships. You know, maybe there's some things we need to do that are changing our plans as we await the next coming. And then thirdly, Joseph is told, put your hope in Christ. He said, this is the Son of God who has come to be the Savior. Now, Joseph, sometimes people would say, well, Jesus wasn't his child. He wasn't his birth child in the sense that Joseph wasn't the birth father. But I guarantee you this, that it's just like if you adopt a child, that's your child. I got one that's adopted. That's my child. And got her when she was a baby. That's a child. So Joseph, I'm sure Jesus thought of him as daddy. You know, this is dad, even though he was the biological son of God. And Joseph now thinks, this is interesting. I've got to protect the Son of God. And there was a lot to protect because, you know, Herod was wanting to kill all the babies 2 years old and on down, just to make sure he killed this one who would become the king of the Jews. But then Jesus would protect Joseph. Jesus would save Joseph. That baby who needed protection, who needed people to care for him, would grow up and care for Joseph and care for us. When Jesus came into this world, he came as a baby in weakness. When he comes again, he'll come in strength. When he came the first time, he came as a lamb. When he comes again, he'll come with the roar of a lion. When he came the first time, hardly anybody noticed. When he comes the next time, every eye will see him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus. Is he your Lord? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? You have the opportunity to do that now. Doing this song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, we think of it as a prayer song, but it talks about his coming, his return. And I want us to conclude our service with thinking about this, that yes, it's all about that first coming, but it's about the next coming too. When Jesus comes to take us to be with him. Let's all stand as we sing the name of the Lord. everybody had a great Christmas, and you know, I'm gonna be gone next week, and my friend Barry, who was here a couple months ago, is gonna be back. So I encourage you all to be here and just give him a good welcome. And then I guess I'm just gonna, I'll see y'all next year. So don't forget me.
You know, we won't forget you.
So anyhow, it's good to be with you all today, that we could celebrate Jesus. And by the way, I like us doing the Christ candle afterwards. I know the tradition is Christmas Eve. We didn't have Christmas Eve, but I like how it just kind of wraps it all together, because it's about His coming and His coming. Amen. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to worship You. Thank You for Your blessings to us, that You came, that there was that first coming, and for that we celebrate our resurrected Lord. But we await, Lord. We know there's a time coming that all of us will leave this earth, and we have the opportunity to be with You throughout eternity. We can't even wrap our heads around that, but we trust You for this, and we're thankful. So we pray Your blessings on us as a church as we enter into a new year. You've blessed us in this last year and a half. You've kept us together, and You've given us other folks to come and join with us, and we're thankful for that. Most of all, we're just thankful that we could be here to lift up the name of Jesus and to give You praise and glory. So we just ask Your blessings as we continue on, in Jesus' name, amen.